So like many of you, I grew up playing sports my whole life. I've told a bunch of those stories, and they always usually end up with me on the ground with dirt in my face mask. But loved playing sports growing up, and I played all sports. I mean, I went from one thing into another. My mom was the consummate soccer, basketball, football, track, baseball, and football mom. I think I captured everything there. Oh, and tennis. And so she did all that. She was amazing. But football in particular was a sport. And if those of you who played football, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So I was on defense and offense. I played both ways and played on special teams because I was in a small school. So you got to do everything. I mean, you got to be play every position on the field. And what would happen is as your opponents lined up on the other side of the field, we usually kind of knew what was coming because we would watch game films all week of the other opponent. We'd get copies, or our coaches would scout them, and we'd have their plays and have them written down in a playbook. And so we kind of knew what was coming, and we trained all week on that, where our defense would run their defense against us so that we could work out our offense. And so, you know, it's chess down on a football field with blood, guts, and sweat. So it's a lot of fun. But by the time, you know, game day gets there on Friday night lights, right, in Texas, well, you would line up, and every once in a while they'd throw you a curveball. Like, they would line up different. Or they'd stack the line on one side when you thought they were going to stack it on the other. And our quarterback had been given a certain level of latitude or authority to, when that happens and he's completely, like, you know, befuddled, not sure what to do, he'd take a step back and he could call an audible. And an audible was like just sort of something he had on the side waiting, and it was a handful of plays that we had gotten ahead of time. But we didn't run them often, so they were kind of ended up looking like Keystone Cops out there most of the time. But he would sometimes have to call an audible because something wasn't right. And those of you who played sports know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, sometimes, lo and behold, as a preacher, I might wake up on a Sunday morning and I have studied, I have prepared, I've got the sermon ready to go, I'm feeling good, I'm relaxed, and the opponent aligns up on the other side of the proverbial field, and I'm thinking, I've got to call an audible here. And so this morning, while we were going to get back into our series on Acts, and we will eventually, this morning when I got up, there have been so many things that have happened in the last 2 weeks. First of all, there was confirmation hearings that have happened, and those are starting to look really good right now. Oh, and also we have a new president, 47th president. Monday was a day. Wow. Monday was pretty amazing. This is the first inauguration I've ever actually watched. In fact, I wasn't going to. I wasn't going to do it. I was going to just stay in my robe because we had the day off. We were enjoying it. Annette, so I'm going to turn the TV on. I usually don't like the TV on until the evening, so I'm like, no, I'm just being bullheaded. And I hear it going. I walk through to get something, probably another cup of coffee, and I look over and I see it, and I just sat down for a second, and I was hooked for the duration. I was in for hours in my robe. I don't think I ever got out of my robe on Monday, did I? I was like, because I was all in. I was like, and I found myself just going, wow. Not how, just wow. Just blown away by what we were watching, what we were witnessing, knowing that we were watching history right there. This was history making. So, you know, and like a wrecking ball coming out of the inauguration, I mean, he just started, and it's been like domino effect ever since. Amen? So I don't know about you, but I'm kind of excited about what's happening. I keep pinching myself going, is this really happening? Yeah, come on. And it's not just because of Donald Trump. Remember, I've talked about this. I've said I didn't vote for a person. I voted for a platform. And the platform that most aligns with biblical worldview and biblical values. And so that's what happened. And now it's going bigger than I ever thought. It's going faster than I thought. And I'm nothing but excited about our future, about this year, about the next 4+ years. And I think things are lining up in a good way for us. But what it has done for us, you know, I've asked you, I've said, we need to get back in the public square. We need to engage culture from a biblical worldview. We need to not be silent. We need to speak truth to power. We need to stand up to tyranny or the appearance of tyranny or what feels like tyranny. And we need to deal with what's happening around us. And my goodness, you guys have stood up and you're doing it, which has been Absolutely amazing. And what we have seen is just, like I said, it's been like the dominoes tumbling. It's been like an avalanche coming. And so now it's like God has blown open the public square for us again so that we now can go in and speak into that public square. There's another side to that coin. It's a two-edged sword. Because not only do we need to go in and speak the truth in love in terms of values, biblical worldviews, constitution, what we believe to be our founding fathers' wishes for this country, but now we need to step into the public square with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've stopped praying for revival. I'm thanking God for it. I don't know if you saw the opening of the Ohio State-Notre Dame championship game, but to see these young men standing up, and I'm telling you, there's not a journalist with a microphone and a camera on a football field right now that doesn't know that when they hold that mic up to somebody, they're going to talk about Jesus. Have you noticed? It's an avalanche. Revival works itself out in the culture. If it just happens in church, that's not a revival. That's just a good prayer meeting. That's a good worship service. It's got to work itself out into culture. It's got to impact politics. It's got to impact sports. It's got to impact entertainment. Oh, my gosh. How many actors and actresses are now beginning to vocalize their faith and verbalize their faith? I don't know if you've been seeing this, but you should be cheering this on. Hollywood's a mess right now. And so we've got to reclaim these pillars, these mountains, and say, no, 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 for God, for the King of Kings and for country, but for God first, the kingdom of God. So wanted to get that out because, man, amazing things are happening. Oh, by the way, J6ers being pardoned, how about that? Yeah, that's near and dear to our heart. Unless it's changed my understanding, there's still 12 that are being held hostage at this point. And we need to pray for that and pray that God will break that. It'll come. It's going to happen. So anyway, be encouraged. Be excited. Do a little victory dance, but don't get too happy because we got work to do. Amen? We need to get our voice back in where it matters. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Brian got up and he started preaching on covenant, our covenant God. Sounds innocuous enough, but as he began to preach, I didn't even know this because the first Sunday he did that, he was on, you know, he's like dousing with gasoline, throw a match on, and then we come watch him burn, right? That's how Pastor Brian is. He was on fire, he was going, and he was reminding me of the covenants we have in God. It was uncorking wells for me, just digging up, redigging old wells. And it was great. I went out and we went out in the center. Well, about towards the end of it, Annette turns to me and she goes, I don't feel right. When Annette says she doesn't feel right, I know she doesn't feel right. And I said, what's going on? She said, I don't know. I slept in my body. I just feel weird. And I said, well, go to the office back here and get some water and sit down on the couch and relax. And so she took off. So I was like, well, that's odd. Well, then after it's over with, she's gone for quite a while. I'm out there solo just having fun with you guys. And I talked to Pastor Brian as the second service starts. And I walked over, I patted him on the back, said, man, you did a great job, bro. That was awesome. And he goes, man, I am so under attack. He said, my mind, my brain was fuzzy. I felt like I was stumbling over words. I couldn't think straight. And I'm like, you could have fooled me. I mean, that was awesome. Because on my end, I'm getting clarity. I'm like going, yeah, we're gonna go redig those wells. We're going to stand in our covenants. We're going to continue to take territory. So I said, well, then I know what's going on. I said, you're preaching on the covenant. I said, the devil hates that because the devil knows if the church ever gets a hold of their covenant in God, it's game over for the enemy. So I kind of just gave him that encouragement, like, go get him, you know, round two, do it again. And he did. Annette said, so here's what happened. We get at staff meeting on that Tuesday. It's now a week ago Tuesday. And we're talking about it, and everybody's going, this weird stuff's happening. Just things that shouldn't break are breaking. Things that shouldn't fall over are falling over. I mean, stuff's not working. Anybody know where I'm going with this? And so, yeah, because I'm about to ask y'all a little informal survey. I think I know what's going to happen here. Well, I'll just do it right now. Do any of you notice that there's been an uptick in spiritual activity lately? Okay, all right. For the five of you who didn't raise your hand, there's stuff going on. There's a swirl happening. We call that an F5 tornado in West Texas. And right now there's a swirl going on in the spiritual world. Why? Because the enemy is not happy right now. And that just makes my heart very happy right now. I delight in that. Now, so he preaches on covenant again, and then everything gets weird. Annette and I did a podcast a week ago called Weird Stuff. Go figure. Really original, right? Just weird stuff. Just call it what it is. And because we're noticing this massive uptick. Here's the thing. As God is moving in the positive, as we're seeing revival now in the next generation, the Notre Dame-Ohio State game, those two teams get out on the field before the game. They did not take a knee during the Star-Spangled Banner. They took a knee to pray for one another before it was a bloodbath for the championship. And then they knocked each other around for a couple of hours. I mean, bloodbath. And then Ohio State came out on top. They're interviewing the quarterback for Notre Dame. He's sitting at one of those tables afterwards. You know, they have that debriefing. And somebody, a reporter, asked him a question. He says, "Before I answer your question, I need to tell you this." He said, "I just want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave me this ability to play. And even though we didn't win and I'm a little sad about it, man, the best people won." He said, "The men of God that were on that field won the game." He said, "So I'm thankful for my brothers that they fought hard and they won." He said, "The best men won today." That is not what you're used to hearing from a football player who just lost the game, the championship. And he's thanking God that the best men won. Then they're on the field afterwards. There's confetti everywhere. People are leaving. And there's two reporters on the field, two sportscasters sitting at a desk. And they're talking. And one turns to the other and he goes, "You know what? We need to recognize something that's happening here." He said, "This is about these young men's faith." He said, "They have embraced faith in God. And he said, it is building character in them. It's building sportsmanship in them. They're honoring one another on the field. They're respecting one another." He said, "This is changing the game." Come on, somebody. Reason that's exciting is because revival is spilling over into culture. And when we talk about engaging the culture, it's not just turning the political tide. I've told you from the beginning, we don't have a political problem. We have a spiritual problem. And we've got to get our hearts and our nation's heart right with God. And when we do that, and we get the political in alignment, we get entertainment in alignment, we get the news media in alignment, all the mountains. Let me tell you something. God will show up and change this nation from the inside out. Amen? And we're beginning to see this. We're seeing the possibility. And if you haven't, please open your eyes. Check your pulse. God is on the move, and we get to be a part of it. Amen? It's an exciting time for us. And it really is our time to shine. So, audible. I was talking about audible in a football team. Well, I called an audible this morning. Annette goes, "Well, how's it going? Are you ready?" I said, "It's changing right now." She was waiting, changing. I'm like, "I don't even know. Where are you going?" "I'm not even sure." So, had some scriptures pop into my mind, and the Lord did bring some clarity. And so, I want to share with you the not planned sermon. I did get a practice run in the first service, so you don't. It's not too raw. But if you have your Bibles, and you'll have it up on the screen, go to Luke chapter 4. What I want to talk about is what's happening, not just because Pastor Brian preached on covenant. I'm not going to blame Pastor Brian for the swirl that's happening right now. But I will tell you this. When you go into real areas that are sensitive to the enemy, that actually if we were to embrace, learn, and activate in our life, it would actually move the needle in the kingdom of God. The enemy gets very sensitive about that. He gets very protective of that. He'll let us have good Bible studies all day long. He'll let us have good church services all day long. He doesn't care. He's not worried about this. But when it begins to impact where you live, where you work, and where you play, he gets sensitive about it. And right now, he's very sensitive about this. So I want to give you some tools and some practicals because we need to know how to stand our ground when the enemy comes up against us. When our opponent lines up on the other side of the line and we see something different, we need to know what to do. Can I get an amen? Amen. We need to know where to go, and it needs to be first nature, not second or third. You need to be able to say, oh, I know what this is. Two things John Eldridge, I just heard him talk about this recently. He said there's two things in 2025 that we have got to get a hold of. Two things, I adjure you to write these down. We need communion with God. I'm not talking about taking communion like we just did, although that's good. But he's talking about we need union with him, communion. Now, I say that for the men because that sounds a lot better than intimacy. You say intimacy and men kind of go, oh, that's awkward, you know. So we need communion with God. That means we need to be in union with him. We need to be unified, aligned with him, and drawing near to him. The second thing we need is we need discernment. Two things, communion with God and discernment. Now, you need to understand something. The Bible talks about spiritual gifts, does it not? One of those spiritual gifts in the Bible, it's called a manifestation gift, and it's in one of the lists, and it talks about discernment. And a lot of people say, well, I have the gift of discernment, and I'm like, well, you need to finish the sentence. You don't. There's not a gift of just discernment. There's a gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom, and knowledge, the word of knowledge. But discernment means the discerning of spirits. You need to go back and read that. The discerning of spirits. When I talk about there's a swirl going on in the atmosphere, it's a spiritual swirl. I know some of you are going to go, whoa, we haven't gone here in a while, or I don't know if I've ever gone here. But you need to go there because you need to know that there are forces coming against you that you may not even recognize. Did you know that everything that happens in your life is not just natural? Sometimes when things break, they didn't just break, they were broken. There are forces at work. There are intrusive thoughts that come into your mind and your mentality or into your dream life, your thought life, your peaceful life. When you're just as relaxed, sometimes when you're praying, some of the most horrible thoughts will invade your space. And you're like, where did that come from? Well, you need to know where that came from. Because if you don't know where something comes from, then you don't know how to deal with it. It's like when I was a kid learning how to hunt with my 22 Browning, my little 22 Magnum that I had, and my dad was teaching me how to hunt rabbits, and we'd get out there, and I couldn't see them. He'd say, hey, there's one over there, it's right behind that hill, and he would whistle. And when he would whistle, that rabbit would stick his ears up, and he said, now get him. Why? Because I could see him. See, if I didn't know what I was shooting at, if you don't have a target, you can't hit anything. And a lot of us go through our Christian life just kind of like, I mean, it's like, hey, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I mean, we're just like, yeah, yay, brother. I mean, and we forget that there is a very real war that we are in. You were born into a world at war, and I'm not just talking about natural wars. There is a real need. You got to make room in your space for this. You got to make a category in your life for this. There is a real devil. Satan is real. The second is he has a horde, a swarm, if you will, an army of minions called demons. And demons are real. Now, let's go flip over to the other side. I don't go around looking behind every corner for a demon or a devil. And trust me, if you're walking with God and you're really moving the needle in the things of the kingdom, you're growing in your faith, you will never have to look for them. They will find you. But they often come disguised, and they often come sounding a lot like your own voice in your head. Or they'll come and they're so subtle that you think something just broke. This morning at 1:30, our dog gets up. He's sick. He sleeps in our bed, so that's not a good thing. He does have his own blankie, but it's not always adequate. And this dog rarely gets sick, and he always sleeps through the night. He's the best baby we've ever had. He sleeps through the night. 1:30, he's up. He's restless. Annette takes him out. He never goes out in the middle of the night. Something's up. We're not sure what's going on. Well, I didn't know anything was on. I totally slept through the first one. So at 4:20, when he gets up again, Annette goes, it's your turn. I mean, it's like no mistake there. So I get up at 5 anyway, so I got up early. So I got up, take him out. He's acting weird and strange. And the first thought, not the second or third, was this is spiritual. I even told Annette, getting out of bed, I said, the devil doesn't want me to rest. He didn't want us to get sleep. He didn't want us to be rested. He didn't want us to be at peace. Why? Because it's Sunday. My daughter and her husband went home sick this morning. They were sick last Sunday. Listen, there are things that happen when maybe we're slow, but we're not dumb. You have to start to notice things and go, wait, there's a pattern here. Things are happening at interesting times. And don't think there's not a strategy against your life, and I'll prove that to you from God's Word in just a moment. And so we're dealing with these things. They're happening. Things are getting weird. So this morning, I'm just kind of laughing it off because I'm like, I know what this is. This is the enemy. You know, I'm sad for Mr. Chevy, but it's the enemy. So we go about our morning. I'm getting ready. I'm starting to go over my notes because I always prepare ahead of time. And I'm going, I'm not supposed to preach this. I mean, I'm going, okay, so what now, Lord? I mean, I'm like, I know I'm getting a curveball. I know God is calling an audible. I knew it. And so as I'm sort of just waiting to see what that's going to look like and reading scripture and in the word and listening to some worship, I'm enjoying that. Then Annette comes in and she goes, the microwave just broke. I said, what? Microwaves don't just break. She said, it's dead. I mean, like dead, dead. I go in there, I mess with it, and it's whacked. And it'd been messing up a little bit. But I mean, and you don't care about a microwave till it doesn't work, right? I mean, it's just one of those things. So it didn't work this morning, so she's got bacon half cooked. She's throwing it, and she's trying to figure it out. So no big deal, right? But I'm thinking, man, we got to get going, you know. We got to get to church. So that's the second thing that happens. So we get in my car. I hit the button, and my car battery is dead. Well, the car's, what, 6 years old now, 5, 6 years old? It should be dead. I mean, that battery lasted a long time. But why now, this morning? So you can see natural things, but sometimes the enemy can manipulate natural things to work on his. It's called leverage. It's like a judo. He just uses the leverage of whatever you got. So we get in the car. I'm laughing. I'm literally like, eh, whatever. And I said, well, I hope your car starts, or we're going to call it in, you know. And her car starts. We get here. We drive in. We pray. We do warfare on the way. But while Annette was getting ready, I went into the kitchen. So on the other side of the house, I knew she couldn't hear me. And I just went to war. See, I know what to do. I know when things aren't lining up and when things get weird, I know that it's time to fight. You need to understand something. The Apostle Paul, when he was encouraging young Timothy, the young pastor, he said, you are going to fight. He said, fight the good fight of the faith. Now, why would Paul tell him to fight the good fight of the faith if there wasn't a fight to be fought? Have you ever thought about it? See, some people think that when you come to know Jesus, then that's like getting in a hammock and swinging around and just going, ooh, this is awesome. Or you know, they're in a meadow of wildflowers on a swing, you know, out on a tree swing and just enjoying the breeze. And, hey, hand me that Mountain Dew, or hand me that sweet tea. This is the Christian life. Well, anybody who's been a Christian for any amount of time knows that's a lie. That's a myth. It's a fantasy. No, we were born into a world at war, and when you get born again, you are really in the war. You're already in it, whether you know it or not, but you really step into it. You're getting drafted when you say yes to Jesus. But you got to learn how to fight. We know that the Word of God works, amen? But we got to learn how to work the Word and actually use it as a weapon of warfare. I want to share Scripture with you. Everybody okay so far? All right, Luke chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus. Listen to this. Luke 4, it will be on the screen. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. All right, let's just make a note right here. The reason he's full of the Holy Spirit, he just got baptized. Man, he had his cousin John baptize him, and a dove descended on him, and he heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, the gospel says, listen to him. Pay attention. So he just got baptized in the Spirit and in water. I mean, he just got a full meal deal right there. He's full of God. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. That's where he got baptized. Was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Who led him in the Spirit into the wilderness? The Spirit, not the devil. But the Spirit leads him into a difficult situation. Some people have a view of God that he would never put me in harm's way. He would never put me in an uncomfortable position. Hello? He leads Jesus right into this. It's called the temptation of Jesus. It says this. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days. That's called the valley of the shadow of death in Psalm 23. Being tempted by the devil. And yet, by the way, that word tempted means proven. He was being tested. He was being proven. God used the devil to check his work in Jesus. I've shared this before. My granddad was a cabinet builder. Every time he'd put in a new shelf or build something or attach something, he would put weight on it. He would put pressure on it. One day, as I got a little older, I said, "Granddad, what are you doing? You're going to break something." He said, "If it breaks, I didn't do it right." My granddad would test what he built. Guess what? God tests what he built. When he's building you, he's working in you, he's creating you to be a force multiplier in this world for God's kingdom and to bring righteousness, truth, and justice into this world, trust me, he's checking his work along the way. Can I get an amen? I hope somebody's connecting some dots right now. We're so quick to blame the devil, aren't we? We go around rebuking the devil every time something goes wrong. Guess what? You may be being tested by God. I think God gets a kick out of that personally. I think he's got a sense of humor. If he doesn't, a lot of us are in trouble. Amen. So look what happens. It says, he ate nothing during those days, and when they ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you're the son of God, you hear the devil? He's such a manipulator, isn't he? If you're the son of God, command this stone to become bread. He said, if you're God's son, you can turn this into bread. Jesus answered him, it is written. Note those words, those three words. Some of you just need to stand on God's word and just say to the enemy, it is written. Sometime when you're praying, you just need to pause while you're talking to God and say, well, by the way, devil, it's written. Just so you know, it's written. Look what he says. It's written, man shall not live by bread alone. The devil took him up and showed him all the kingdom of the world in a moment of time and said to him, I will give you all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, the word worship literally means to bow down low. He's saying, if you'll bow down before me, he said, it will all be yours. That just sounds like a cartwheel. It's all going to be yours. He's just telling him that. So Jesus says to him, it is written. You hear what Jesus is doing? He's using the word of God as a weapon to do war for God and on God's behalf to drive the enemy back. Do you think we should learn from that? The word works, but you have to learn to work the word. So listen to what he says. He says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Jesus is using the word to deal with the enemy. Verse 9, and he took him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple. That's way the high, it's the high place. And said to him, if you're the Son of God, there's the if again, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he'll command his angels concerning you to guard you. Now the devil is quoting scripture. He's quoting Psalm 91, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Verse 12, Jesus answered him, it is said. Okay, it's been written, and it's been said. It moves into the place of declaration. Family, it's enough to say it is written. That's good, but there comes a point where you have to say it is said, and you begin to get God's word on your mouth. And you declare God's word, and it becomes a force multiplier in your mouth. It becomes a weapon of war. God's word on the enemy, because as the devil reminds you of your past, you get the privilege of reminding him of his future. You can say, it is said that there's a place prepared for the devil and his angels. By the way, you're going to burn in hell forever, so knock yourself out for a little bit. It's about to be over. It has been said, it has been written, it's been said. And sometimes we have to say it. And he says this, when the devil had ended every temptation, this is verse 13, he departed from him until an opportune time. The devil wasn't through, but Jesus kind of handed his tail on a platter. You know what I'm saying? Verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Do you remember how he came into the desert? Led by the Spirit. How did he leave? In the power of the Spirit. Do you hear this? He came in led by the Spirit. He goes through all this temptation. He stands on God's word. He fights the good fight. He wages war, and he walks out not led by the Spirit, but now in the power of the Spirit. How many of you would like to live your life in the power of the Spirit? Come on, I want to be empowered. I want to walk into Walmart and things start to move simply because the Holy Spirit in me is going before me. There should be people who notice when you show up. Spurgeon said that we should live our lives in such a way. Actually, this is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I got my history confused. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, you should live your Christian life in such a way that people who don't know Jesus wonder why they have unbelief. There should be something so compelling about us. Why? Because we're empowered. Because we're walking in the power of the Spirit. God is opening the public square for us for a reason, family. And it's not just so we can spike the ball and say, yay, Donald Trump won. It's actually so we can bring the kingdom of God into the public square. And I'm thankful these 19, 20, 22-year-old athletes are doing it. A lot of pro athletes are doing it. Hollywood is having a revival right now. God is shaking up Hollywood, and it's not just because of the fire. I mean, God is shaking things up. There is an exodus out of Hollywood where entertainers are leaving Hollywood saying, I got to get my family out of here. I'm a Christian. I can't stay in this environment. But God is moving, family. And I'm not going to let a 19-year-old football player beat me to the punch on sharing the gospel. I'm glad they are. But listen, let's stay up with them. Amen. Let's get our voices out there where we live, where we work, and where we play. But thank God for those young people. Amen. For the next gen. So I want to go over to 2 Corinthians. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm trying to give you some equipment. And then we'll end with a prayer that will help equip you for that as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is schooling the Corinthian church. The church at Corinth was a mess. They were in a pagan place. When people were getting saved and becoming Christians, what was happening is they were bringing their pagan practices into the church because they didn't know any better. They were all brand new babies. So they just did what they knew to do. So wild stuff was happening. Paul is schooling them. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. Did you just hear that? Even though we live in this world and this stuff's real and this is made up of atoms, it's matter, we don't wage war according to this. But we think we do. And we act like we do. And we live like we do. The real war that's going on is not the one that's happening in Ukraine, if that's a war. That's a money laundering operation. But whatever's happening, we think that's it. But at the end of the day, that's not it. There's a bigger war going on, and the war is for the eternity of people's souls. That's the real war. It plays out in the world. But the real war is the swirl going on right here in this room right now. By the way, I know for a fact that there are demonic entities swirling in this atmosphere right now. Don't let that blow your mind. Be flattered if they're messing with you. Be thankful they think enough of you and they're worried about you enough to mess with you. In fact, when weird stuff happens, I get excited because I'm like, hey, we must be over the target. And then the Lord says, no, son, you are the target. You're not over it. You are the target right now. Okay, yeah, thanks for the clarity. But you got to understand, when this stuff is going on, it's actually a good thing. It means we've become a threat. Can someone say amen? Amen. You're either listening real good or you're really nervous right now. Here we go. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare. If we didn't need weapons and if we were not told we have weapons, then there would be no need for a war. But there is a war, family, and there are weapons. But if you don't know how to use your weapons, can you imagine sending kids off to war? We run them through boot camp. They watch a few films. They watch some movies, Saving Private Ryan. You know, they watch a few movies and go, that's what war looks like. And then they send them off into the sandbox, into the war theater. Can you imagine? Oh, they'd get ground up like powder. And they'd have no weapons. And they wouldn't know how to use them if they had them, if they were not trained. I fear and I'm concerned that sometimes we in the church, we get so busy moving things and doing things, all good, not opposed to any of it, that we don't stop long enough to think and ask this question. Are our people sitting in the chairs on a given Sunday prepared for the war they're going to encounter as they walk out this door? That's why we say we are three things. Our third thing is we want to equip you to engage what's going on with a biblical worldview. But I want you to be able to walk out this door today and do the war that God's called you to, the real war. So listen to this. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power. Did you know you're packing heat? And you don't even know it, some of you. You are packing heat. You are stronger than you think. You're scarier than you think. You don't realize there are some of you that when you wake up, the devil goes, no. I was hoping for a break from that one. The devil should be nervous when you wake up in the morning because he knows the combat, the battle is about to begin. Soon as you turn on Hello Fred, plug. When you turn on Hello Fred and start listening to worship music in your house, we leave ours going all the time. We put it on our Sonos and we're gone. And worship is filling our house all day long in the Word of God. And then we come back, Chevy's like on fire for God. I mean, it's like he's happy and it's a better day. No, the atmosphere, what are we doing? We're using our weapons. We're lacing the atmosphere with worship. Listen, have divine power to destroy strongholds. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is anything that has a hold on you. It's a stronghold. Anything that has a strong hold on you, that's a stronghold. That could be a besetting sin. It could be a habit. It could be a thought pattern. It could be a trauma that you've not been able to resolve. It could be a lot of different things, but there are things in our life, but the short version of a stronghold is it's like a hook that the enemy can hang his stuff on. He can hang his stuff on you. He can hang his lies on you. He can lay his falsehoods on you and continue to keep you in those places. And then look what it says. The weapons of warfare are not of flesh, but divine power to destroy. Does that sound warlike? I don't know about you. I'm a dude. I like to blow stuff up. You know what I'm saying? We get to blow stuff up in the Spirit. Verse 5, we destroy, we blow up arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. That means raised against knowing God. Anything that gets in the way of knowing God, we have the ability to blow it up. We have the ability to destroy it. The question is, are we willing to step into the ring? Are we willing to get into the arena and fight the good fight? It says this, we destroy arguments, every lofty opinion raised against knowing God or the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience. In other words, we literally take our thoughts, we capture them. I'm talking about those intrusive, dark thoughts that are hitting some of you right now. Sometimes when you get in your prayer closet, you start to pray, all kinds of craziness comes in, and you can take those thoughts captive. Well, how do I do that, Pastor Jimmy? It's not complicated. K-I-S-S. You know what that means? Keep it simple. Saint. This is how simple it is. In the name of Jesus, I take that thought captive. I bind it up. I take it captive. I cast it away. What did I do? Just put it out. Tries to come back you. Oh, no, no, no. I already took care of that. In the name of Jesus. When you say in the name of Jesus, do you know what you're actually doing? You're invoking the authority of Jesus Christ himself. It's as though Jesus is right there with you. Why? Because he is. Jesus isn't up there in heaven. Jesus dwells in you by his Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? He's here. The King is in the house. Elvis has not left the building. He is in the house. He's right here. And when you invoke his name, you invoke his authority. I don't know about you, but that's some authority. I mean, he raised people from the dead. Hello. He fed thousands of people through miracles. You'll like this one. He turned water to wine, Fredericksburg. Listen, the power of all of heaven, the authority dwells in you. That's why the enemy hates relationships. Where two on earth are, when two agree on earth about anything, it'll be done for them. Power of agreement. So we take these thoughts captive. In the name of Jesus, I invoke the authority of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwells in me. It's not complicated. You don't have to make it smooth either. I think God gets a kick out of baby prayers and just simple prayers. Keep it simple, saint. I'll wax eloquent because I've been doing this a long time, but man, just say what needs to be said. I invoke the authority of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus. That's all you got to say. Just know what you're doing when you say it. You're actually moving things. And in the name of Jesus, I take that thought captive. That's not my thought to keep. That thought's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for that. He died for that sin. He died for that thought. He died for that memory. And I don't have to keep it. You say, well, how often will I need to do that? Maybe 100 times a day. I don't know. But when you're walking with Him, something amazing happens. You start to recognize lies that are happening in your brain. Let me put it like this. You've heard this. I've said it before. We've all said it. Every preacher on the planet's used this story. My mom was a bank teller early on in her banking career. She eventually became a vice president of a bank. But in the early days, they were training her how to, be a teller. And as they were doing it back then, I don't know if they still do it this way, but they would only allow her to handle real money. But they talked about counterfeits, how people will come along and try to give you fake bills. And they taught her how to spot watermarks, and there's a little light you can put on. There's all kinds of things that are safeguards. But here's the main thing, it's how it feels. And so Mom learned the truth. She learned what true money is. This is real money. And then when she's at her spot and somebody tries to slip her a fake bill, she immediately knows something's wrong. She immediately knows. It doesn't feel right. The texture's not right. The weight's not right. She feels the difference because all she's done is handle good money. Here's how this principle works for us. Sometimes people think that in terms of spiritual warfare, they need to know everything about the devil and about evil and about wickedness. You know what they'll do? They'll go down a rabbit hole and start reading books and studying about spiritual warfare. And you know what happens? Whatever is in your mind the most is what will come out of you. We leak out what we're full of, and I don't want to be full of the enemy. So I don't spend time studying the enemy, studying his strategies. This isn't a war theater in Iraq. This is spiritual warfare. And so I don't spend time. So here's what we have to do. We need to get to know the truth better. And guess what Jesus said? I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. Jesus is the truth, and He is truth. You need to get to know Jesus. When you handle the real thing, and then when something that's false or that is a lie or is a counterfeit comes across your heart, your spirit in prayer, some people want to know, how do I recognize the voice of God? I get confused. Is it me, God, or the devil? Let me tell you something. The better you get to know Jesus, the more you'll recognize something that's not true when it comes. That intrusive thought comes in the middle of prayer. You're waxing holy. Man, you're all on your face. You're declaring the word of God, and then some bizarre thought comes across your mind and you're like, this is out of place. I always run something by the Holy Spirit when I'm out and about and some weird thought comes. I'll say, is this true? And every time I know in my knower. One story, and I'll land with this because there's too much more. So I'm going to end with this because I want to get to something very practical. When I was a youth minister at a Baptist church, I was a good Southern Baptist boy. I was in seminary at the time, and I was ministering at this church. And it was July 4th, and there was a bunch of kids and people, got about 60, 70 people got together. They barbecued. It was just one of those great July 4th days at somebody's house. And that evening when it got dark, we set off fireworks. And all that had happened, and it was kind of winding down. There's still 60, 70 people there. And all the kids are playing. They're having such a good time. We're having a great fellowship. And somebody runs around the corner, some kids, and they're saying, Pastor Jimmy, Pastor Jimmy. It's Natalie. It's Natalie. She fell down and something's happening. And man, you just go into all, adrenaline hits. I run around the corner. All the adults, we all go around the corner. Natalie's 11 years old, and she's laying on the ground, and she is in a full-on seizure. She is flopping around on the ground like a fish out of water. And it's shocking. I mean, you see it, and you just, you know, it does something to you. And I was the first one to her. I got the kids out of the way. I got down there, and I said, trying to get her attention. She was full-on in this seizure. And that's exactly what I thought it was at first. And then another lady kneels down. She's a lady who had moved from Southern California. She'd been part of the Vineyard movement. She's been around spiritual warfare and spiritual things. And she's like, she's got a look on her face. I lean down. And when Natalie locks eyes with me, she goes stiff like a board. And she looks horrified as she's looking at me. But she's not looking into my eyes. She's looking past me, if you've ever seen anybody do that before. It's like she's not looking at me. She's looking at something else, and she's horrified. Or whatever it is horrified, I realized. I didn't know what to do. I'm a good Baptist boy. They don't teach this in seminary. They don't. We never talked about spiritual stuff in seminary. Sorry to, you know, it's true. And I'm like, but here's what happened. Something came up in me, and in a second, I knew exactly what to say. I knew exactly what to do. I can't tell you how, but it was the Holy Spirit giving me a word of knowledge in the moment. And I laid my hand. I've never done this before. I've never even seen this before. I laid my hand on her forehead, and she's growling at me like an animal. She's snarling like an animal, like she's going to bite my hand or something. I put my hand on her, but I had no fear. And I said, in the name of Jesus, be still. And I didn't say it loud, just loud enough for her to hear, not for anybody else. And she just stopped. She relaxed. And she was herself. And about 60 people jumped back and gasped. And then the lady across from me that had been involved in a more charismatic background, she looked at me and she said, you know what to do. And you know what this is. And in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to believe that this is what it appears to be. I didn't want. And the second thought was, I'm going to be so fired after this. Because we're Baptist. We don't do this. That was my second main thought. First thought was for her safety. Second was, I'm going to get fired. I'm going to be branded. Went through that evening. The end of that story is she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And then I'd like to say it was all perfect, because what that did was it opened up the fountain of the trauma she had been suffering at the hands of her own father. Horrible things. And it went to court, and I was involved in that, and we walked with that family through that. But the healing only began when we were able to subdue the enemy that was tormenting this child. And it was horrible. But the lesson I learned from that is that I don't have to know everything. I don't need to be a Catholic exorcist. I just need to be open to what God wants to do in a given moment. And then have the courage to do what He tells me to do, even if it does cost me my job. And that began a journey for me of learning and being in faith. And now I come back to what John Eldred said, and what I'm going to repeat is that we need to get to know Jesus more than we do the devil. Don't waste your time trying to learn stuff and read all that stuff. Listen, when you have to step into the arena and deal, you'll know what to do. Why? Because you'll know who you are in Christ. When your identity is secure, you become secure. That way you're never afraid again at things that go bump in the night. You're never afraid again when something weird happens, when weird stuff starts happening. You'll recognize it and you'll discern the spirit. That means you'll know what's behind it and you'll know what to do. You will invoke the authority of the name of Jesus. Let me share with you what this looks like. In fact, I'm going to read this to you. I got this from John Eldridge. I'll do it in my version, then I'll share his version too. So here's my version of it. I go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, the first 14 verses. This is where I learned to fight the good fight of faith. And I scoured those verses. I learned those verses. I memorized those verses. So when I'm going to deal, did I already mention here about driving over to Hill and Vine? Okay, this is all audible, so nothing's written down here. I don't know what I told the first service and now you. So week ago, I was going to go meet somebody for lunch over at Hill and Vine because it's the only restaurant open on Tuesday in Fredericksburg, Texas. So I was going to go over there from here. It's not a 7-minute drive maybe. And I knew the swirl was happening. Pastor Brian had just gotten massively wiped out after preaching. Net had got sick during a sermon. You know, I mean, stuff's happening. This isn't the only thing. There are lots of things going on. And none of it scared me. I was just laughing, like going, I know exactly what this is. I've been down this road. I'm not new at this. So I knew what to do. So when I got into my car right out here, and I was going to drive to Hill and Vine, 7-8 minutes, I started going to war the minute I got in my car and started it. It's before the battery ran down, like this morning, but it started then. I get in my car and I go to war. Now, here's how I go to war. First of all, I invoke the name of Jesus. Why? Because I know this. When I invoke his name, I invoke his authority. I invoke his presence. So to invoke it, all you do is say, in Jesus' name. Say that with me. In Jesus' name. Wow, this room just filled up. When you say it, something has to move. Dark and light cannot occupy the same space. When you bring light into your moment, darkness has to what? Flee. The Bible says, resist the devil. It says, humble yourselves, submit yourselves to God. And he says, resist the devil and he will what? When you invoke the name and authority of Jesus, you're resisting. And light comes, and guess where darkness goes? We don't know. It says dissipates. So let's say that together again. I'm going to count to three. We're going to say in Jesus' name. 1, 2, 3. In Jesus' name. Woo. Atmosphere is changing in here. Some of you are uncomfortable with that. That's okay. I'm comfortable with you being uncomfortable. I love you that much. This is good. You need this. So here's how I do it. I'm just going to say it. So I jump in the car, I say, in the name of Jesus, right there, I'm already ahead. I'm already on the offense now. See, I don't fight from a defensive position. I fight not for victory, but from victory. Because Jesus already won, right? So now I'm just invoking, and now I'm substantiating and validating the battle that's already been won. I just step into that place. That means the pressure's not on me, right? So here's how I do it. I get in the car, say, in the name of Jesus, and in the authority which I carry that has been conferred upon me as a son of the Most High God. My Bible tells me, now I'm announcing this, I'm saying it out loud, by the way, and I'm doing it in my car. So I'm saying it to heaven, hell, and everything in between. And I say, in the name of Jesus, as a son of the Most High God, my Bible tells me I'm the head and not the tail. That I'm above and not beneath. That I'm blessed coming in, I'm blessed going out. It's Deuteronomy 28, check it out. My Bible tells me that as the enemy comes at me one way, he has to flee and scatter 7. Then I jump over to Isaiah 54. And by the way, devil, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But every tongue that rises against me, you, Father, will show to be in the wrong. That is my heritage as a saint, as a son. And then I jump over maybe Ephesians 2. There's different places I go, but I go to Ephesians 2. My Bible tells me that I've been raised up together, seated in Christ, in heavenly places. Then I jump over to Ephesians chapter 1. Where is that? Jesus has been given the seat by the right hand of God. That's the place of authority and favor. I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says that all things are under Jesus' feet. If I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places, where are all things? I'm giving you a visual. Under my feet. Go with me. Work with me, people. Under my feet. And then I just keep going. I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places. Above all principality, power, might, and dominion. Those are all listed in Ephesians chapter 1 in Paul's great prayer. All those things are spiritual issues. Those are all spiritual levels. And I'm seated in Christ over all of those things. That means I'm not under the circumstances. In Christ, I am now what? Over the circumstance. See what I'm saying? We're above only and not beneath. That's not bragging. That's Bible. I don't go float that out on social media. But when I'm in war, I need to remind the devil of who I am in Christ. But listen, I need to remind myself. Because I'm just like anybody sitting in this room or watching online. I get insecure. I feel unworthy at times. I feel like, gosh, can I even put on the whole armor of God? Am I even worthy to put on the armor of God? The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and holding up that shield of faith wherewith I extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one. When you don't feel confident and secure, you don't feel like fighting. And let me tell you something. If there's anybody in this room right now that is tangled up in besetting sin, I know what's going on. I know the pattern because I'm a human. And I get it, and I get you. But what happens is, when you fall to that sin, whatever it might be, it can be a million things, but whatever it is, when you fall to it, you feel less secure. You feel less confident. You feel less worthy because you think God is judging you on your behavior when, in fact, He's already made you to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See the power of knowing God's word? You can fight off that. What did I do? I just took that thought captive. But when you do that, then you will walk. You'll get out of the cab of your car. Man, when I walked into Hill and Vine, those poor waitresses, that little redheaded girl that works there, she didn't know what hit her. How's your day? Amazing. How's yours? I mean, I'm just like, just chest stuck out. I'm just like, why? Because I invoked the presence of Jesus. I wielded the weapons of warfare. My confidence blew up. Guess what? My faith. I became bigger on the inside than I was on the outside. That means wherever I go, something inside of me is getting to somebody before I physically get there. Are you seeing this? Do you get this? Some of you are in the battle of your life right now. Maybe you're needing to battle for your kids. Maybe you need to fight. Fight the war on behalf of your grandkids. Maybe your great-grandkids. Or you're fighting for somebody, a friend. Man, I've been warring on behalf of and with people lately. It's just, it's a pleasure to do so. And by the way, if you're doing real spiritual warfare, it doesn't drain you. It energizes you because you know He's already gone before you. We even sing it, the battle is the Lord's. But what we do, we come into alignment with it. And now we fight and we stand and we get to do this. It's our pleasure to do so. So I hope you're encouraged today. If anything, I hope you're stirred up a little bit. I'm telling you, go to Deuteronomy 28, first 14 verses. Go ahead and read the last 14. They're kind of the flip side. It kind of gets ugly there. But read it all, but Deuteronomy 28, and get that in your spirit. And begin to declare what God says about you. We talked about the covenant and what it says about us, and we need to declare it, stand on it, and be the warriors that we are called to be. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can we give God a big hand, a big clap? Praise God. Let's all stand together. We're going to go out with a song. Appreciate your patience on this, but I hope this is helpful. Let me read one thing. I'm going to read John's prayer. Because this, again, this is like a template. So I'll just read it short. Maybe this will help you. I gave you mine, but I'll give you his. In the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ as His partner and friend and in His name, I bring and command the creation glory of the living God against all chaos trying to get into my life, into my realm, into my sphere of influence. I bring the breath and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and of our Father the Almighty, breath and glory of the living God against this darkness and desolation, and we send it utterly to its destruction in the authority of Christ. We banish chaos, disruption, desolation, and disorder from our realm, and we send it into the abyss in Jesus' name and authority. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I now command the cross, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ against the forces of darkness attacking me and my household this day. All foul spirits, powers, and devices, all forms of black arts, fire and glory to destroy our enemies in the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask the heavenly host to carry out these orders now to rebuild the canopy of protection around my home, to guard and protect us this day. Your fire around us, Father, your glory within, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God's people said, man, if that doesn't light your fire, your fuse is absolutely wet. You know what I'm saying? This is God. This is Bible, family. Amen. We have to stop giving in. and thinking it's over. Man, if we would have done that with this last election, we wouldn't be sitting here pinching ourselves today. But you didn't give up. You prayed. America prayed. People showed up. But we've got to do the same thing spiritually, because that kingdom's even bigger than this one that we just saw the victories in. Amen? Love you. We'll be out here. Anybody wants to talk?